Last time we chatted up our guest, we were talking Oregon versus Utah. He's since gone from SLC to covering the purple and gold for the Orange County Register. And we have snuck inside the bubble on Twitter. Use the handle at Kyle Goon. Kyle, it's been a while. How are you doing during these most trying times?
Oh, good, Steve. I'm actually just finding a little break in here. I'm actually lying down, which is so rare in the bubble sometimes with stuff when you wake up. You got to get tested, got to run around, do practices, got to write. Tonight I'll be headed to the Clippers game. Their first series tips off tonight against the Mavericks. So there's stuff to do all the time, and I'm finding a brief moment of peace here. Steve and all the listeners, just not a lot of rest in the bubble.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the bubble story has been incredible. They pulled off the final eight games, the play-in. Teams are obviously handling the safety demands well. You kind of glossed over it there. I'm kind of curious, as a journalist, what are the protocols? How much freedom do you have? How are you getting tested? Because this is pretty distinctive circumstances.
Yeah, it's very unusual. And, you know, I've kind of searched around for the way to describe it. And I've sort of called it the basketball Death Star, you know? Like, we're all sort of away from the world, out in space. There's a communal element. We all have different jobs. But the most important thing is that we test and keep up with the procedures. I mean, we're using masks and social distancing for the most part. You know, there's kind of realities of basketball and realities, you know, in what we do that make some of those protocols more difficult to follow. I get up every morning and on my way to breakfast go into these modified hotel rooms where everyone's doing swabs. So it's just kind of a part of my day now. It's very strange for many reasons, the greatest of which is that, you know, we have access to tests every day, and a lot of people are still looking for tests and looking for that kind of reliability. And so it's a weird situation. I feel really fortunate to be here and kind of have eyes on what's going on in basketball and sports. Yeah, it's definitely the strangest thing I've ever done.
You know, when I'm watching at home now, and, you know, I'm almost 60. I've been watching these games for a half century. I found immediately that whether it be in baseball or the NBA, I'm not noticing the absence of the crowd. I'm sure I'd notice if it was there. But in the arena, because I'm thinking, is the piped-in noise for TV? How odd is it?
Oh, it's real weird. It's kind of grown on me in the sense of you can kind of get a little bit lost in the game, so to speak. But, you know, like, some teams, like, have sent – so teams have sort of sent their game op video, what they would play during timeouts. And, like, it's weird because they'll be playing, like, a game between LeBron James and Anthony Davis where they, like – you know, playing Pictionary or something, and there'll be like 200 people in the arena, and everybody's working. Like, everyone's doing audio production or doing media or working a camera or, like, you know, is an official for one of those teams, and it's like, wow, who needs this? Like, why is this stuff there? And then, I mean, obviously, like, you know, the initial games, the initial scrimmages before they sign crowd noise, you could hear everything. You could hear every bit of dialogue on the court, especially in some of the smallest venue, where it was just like, oh, like, this is sort of like a super LA Fitness game, right? Like, this is like a super scrimmage, and it was kind of cool and illuminating as journalists, because you barely, even in the closest seats, you can barely hear that kind of stuff and you know, coverages and things like that. So I think in part, like, the crowd noise is to cover some of that up. Because I think it helps coaches and players. And then, you know, maybe it covers up some colorful language here and there. hasn't always, if you guys have been paying attention.
Oh, believe me, we got it.
So, yeah, I mean, Dame, after his 61-point night, couldn't miss what he was saying to the camera. So, and I saw that live and heard it live. And So it's pretty wild to kind of see that stuff. Like, the weirdest thing is after a game is over, like, all the noise cuts out, and it's just quiet in the gym, if you can imagine it. Like, I mean, you know, typically it's like people are filing out, maybe there's some people hanging out, this or that. No, it just goes dead quiet, and that's very strange.
Talking with Kyle Goon of the Orange County Register, you know, one of the topics about the Lakers in the bubble was first the opt-out of Avery Bradley, and then immediately Rajon Rondo breaks his thumb. Now, I see he cleared quarantine. So, Kyle, what's his status? And I guess how much of a nice jolt would he provide, you know, aiding Deion Waiters and Danny Green in that backcourt?
So it's only been just over a month since that injury happened. And actually, Frank Vogel surprised us with some news today by telling us that medically, Rajon Rondo is cleared. That doesn't mean he's ready to play. And you know, he just got out of quarantine. That's, you know, very restrictive. You have to, like, teams generally put a bike in a room for guys to kind of move and do some stuff, but it's just not the same as basketball shape. So today was the first day he was out. He was on the court with teammates. He was looking like he had a lot of fun. You know, they were running stuff for him, half court, full court after practice. I would guess that it's probably going to take, at the very least, a couple of days before Rondo can come back. It might not be in the series, in my opinion, because the original prognosis was 6 to 8 weeks
right
before he could return to basketball activities. So I think, you know, his hand, his right thumb and right hand specifically, has just been really fragile for the 2 years he's been a Laker. He's had at least 3 major injuries to it. So I find it hard to imagine they're going to rush him back unless the series is really tilting and really requires him to come back.
You know, I mentioned earlier, obviously, you covered Utah and college sports for a long time. But if you think about some of the all-timers, from Kareem to Magic and Bird to Jordan, and now LeBron James, I mean, you're talking about a transcendent figure in the game. So to you as a journalist, getting to see this type of iconic player day in, day out, and what's it like to just watch an international super-duper star work every day and kind of maintain this level of excellence?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it is interesting because when you get very close, you kind of realize how much layering is there. And with LeBron, I mean, not only is he, he's the NBA's biggest star, he's also just a huge celebrity and kind of has his hands in a lot of different pots. And with his school in Akron, you know, he's been doing, obviously, a lot of social justice stuff through his platform, More Than a Vote. He has his own media company and produces shows. And it's just like he has this sprawling empire that you kind of realize, like, oh, LeBron is also like a CEO. And not that he doesn't have, you know, people to help him. Like, he has a huge cast of people to help him. But it's just, it really is kind of remarkable. Someone kind of operating in all these things at the level that he does. And to add to that, Steve, what's remarkable about now is just how vulnerable someone like LeBron is. I mean, he's 35 and he's in year 17 and he lost a little steam from this hiatus. And LeBron in general is very confident about himself, likes to say, yeah, you know, I've been through this before, been through that. And even he in the bubble has been like, I don't know anything about this situation. I don't know how much my experience translates. And, you know, he went to 8 straight finals and he's kind of sitting there being like, yeah, I have no idea how this is going to work out. And he said literally today he thinks that this is going to be his toughest playoff challenge. If the Lakers win a championship, it will be the hardest championship he's ever won.
Interesting. You know, I know they played only about 60 games together this first season, and with Anthony Davis, obviously, it's a killer 1-2 punch. They had, I think, the one rough stretch. They lost 4 in a row around Christmas. But otherwise, would it be accurate to say that, you know, you take these two superstars with these really high expectations? I mean, it seems like they got on the same page pretty quickly and gelled really well fast.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And, you know, I think it has everything to do with LeBron's style of play as sort of ball dominant, you know, passing out of the post, and able to kind of space the floor occasionally. It's just such a good complement for what Anthony Davis does. I mean, he doesn't need the ball like LeBron does. He doesn't need to control the possessions, but he's like the perfect receiver, you know, on the end of a pick and roll. He's a great pick and pop guy. He can win a lot of one-on-one matchups when you feed him the ball down low. They just don't operate in a lot of the same spaces. They have great complements to each other's game. And, you know, I mean, they kind of had a relationship that is very close. I think they played over the summer before the season started. I think that they played during the hiatus when, you know, guys weren't supposed to play. So, you know, and we see a lot of stars did that. So I mean, they really work well together, and I think AD is still at a stage in his career where he's not really like Kyrie was, just eager to strike out on his own and do his own thing. I think this is sort of schooling for him in how to be a leader and how to run a franchise that's as, you know, as storied as the Lakers, has this much media attention. I don't know that AD can be LeBron, just sort of everything I was referencing in your last question about what LeBron does. But I think that the social dynamic between them is just not tense at all.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it is. A couple final thoughts for Kyle Gooner of the Orange County Register. Well, I got to make the Kyle connection, Goon and Kuzma. You covered him at Utah, and so you have this little reunion in L.A., and then you add in with the acquisition of AD, obviously maybe his minutes, productivity slipped a bit. You know, he hit the big gamer last week to beat Denver, but, I mean, considering the first time you saw him play to now a third-year vet on an NBA contender, I mean, that's, as a journalist, that's pretty unique for you, and kind of to be able to watch how his game and he personally has evolved.
Yeah, Kyle introduced me to someone the other week by saying, hey, this guy's followed me around my whole career. and he's got a point. We did have sort of that year when I covered the Jazz, and he was with the Lakers as a rookie. But yeah, it's been a wild journey to kind of see him be this really, in his second year, the sort of underused, you know, sort of like starter. Like, he wasn't definitively a starter. Then he kind of grew into that role as the year went on alongside Jakob Poeltl, into his senior year, or his junior year rather, where he was the star. And he really kind of came out of left field. Like, I mean, he was a highly rated prospect, but the first year on campus, he wasn't eligible to play. So he's actually playing these pickup games with other regular students in the gym and stuff for his whole freshman year at Utah. So really humble beginnings for him. I really think the Lakers' fortunes could really rise if he plays up to his potential. I think it's been really tough for him to go from starter last year to bench guy this year. You know, the Lakers have really pushed playing AD at power forward, JaVale at center, and that's kind of left, you know, no room for him in the starting lineup. And I think he really gets juiced by that, energized by that. But I'm interested to see if maybe the hiatus has given him some perspective, being away from basketball. Maybe he appreciates a little more of what it's going to take for the Lakers to win a championship. And I think some of his attitude has certainly maybe shifted ever so slightly, but I'm interested to see how that actually plays out when the playoffs begin.
And lastly, I mean, obviously being there in the Orlando bubble, one of the big stories was, you know, the Trailblazers, their run to not only get to the play-in, get the eight, and just this incredible show that Lillard has put on. So being there, hearing the buzz, how legit are people viewing the chance that the Blazers not necessarily knocking off the Lakers, but giving a little scare, a little something to think about?
Yeah, and look, I just want to say I was at the last three Blazers games, all wins,
wow,
obviously, and they were just a blast because they were so tight. Dame was obviously awesome. Saw the 61-point game. Saw him flex on all of us in press row for some reason. And loved every second of those games. I just wonder, with Dame doing that much, with CJ and his back, even though he's played very well recently, now Zach Collins is out for game one. I don't really know. I mean, because if you think about it, superhuman effort from Dame in all of those games. And they're still all single-possession games. I mean, it's crazy how close they've been every night, even though Dame is scoring 61, even though he's scoring 42, even though,
Yep.
And I just don't really see how they can kind of keep that going through a whole series against LeBron and AD, who they don't really have defensive matchups for. I do think the Lakers are vulnerable, sort of as you mentioned. Avery Bradley's not here. He's their best on-ball defender. It really, makes him a little light in this matchup with Dame and CJ. So I think, they could win one, maybe two games out of explosive nights from those two. But I just don't see it being enough over the course of the series. I mean, Terry Stotts said himself, we just feel like we got to have a 9-game playoff series. They put a lot of gas into that run.
They did.
So I really wonder how much they have left.
Kyle, awesome stuff as always. I appreciate the time. Love all the great work you do and glad to see and hear you're doing well. Folks on Twitter, it's at Kyle Goon. I want to wish you safety, sanity, and continued success. Hey, thanks a lot, Kyle.
You too, Steve. Keep
fun
checking,
stuff,
man.
You have a good one.